Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, who is the Pet Cancer Vet, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it's still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet Rx, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet Rx will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Well, Dr. Sue, before we start to help Vivian in Austria, who has so kindly been waiting for help with her beautiful Black Shepherd Mato, I'd like to say happy anniversary to you, sweetheart.
And happy anniversary to you. What a wonderful way to celebrate with you.
It really is. And time flies by so fast for me, and I know for you too. You work so many long and brutal days. 3 years we have been doing this, and we only know that because all the kind people on LinkedIn wished you happy anniversary.
They did.
So bless their little cotton socks. This is a great way to spend it together, trying to help other people. This is not so much of a complicated situation, but a very brilliant owner who's learned a lot and has so much information and so many questions about it that I'm going to try to help to unravel it. Mato is, his job has been, as Vivian says about him, over the last 10 years, his work has been to help rehabilitate fearful, aggressive dogs. So he's been used in training programs. She says he's a great soul of a dog. We really want to fight this thing as well as we can. I know, he's the world to us, but it's so seldom to find people that can feel with us the way you and Dr. Sue do. Even our oncologists here in Austria just gave up, although Mato is fighting so bravely and doing so well. The prognosis for hemangiosarcoma is so bad, they won't even try anything new. So I say that as a preface because this is a dog who has been through a huge amount of surgery and chemo and supplementation and is doing really well. But Vivian isn't sure if the choices she's making are right, of what to do when and how much. So can you tell us first a little bit about hemangiosarcoma? Dr. Sue, is it often in the heart, always in the heart?
So it is a malignant cancer of blood vessels. It is a pretty common cancer in dogs and definitely a tough one. I mean, it's treatable. Dogs live longer with surgery and chemotherapy than they do without treatment. But it's one of the tougher cancers because the one-year survival rates tend to be much lower than some of the other malignant cancers that we are more successful in treating. So in that way, it can be a tough cancer. But again, it's a malignant cancer of blood vessels. As you can think about it, we have blood vessels everywhere in our body, right? So you can have hemangiosarcoma of the skin, and you can have it of the subcutaneous layers and the muscle. But the most common location that we see in dogs, and definitely the shepherd breeds we see it in, is the spleen inside the abdomen. And then the second most common place is the heart. And again, I just think of the heart as a big blood vessel. So anywhere that there's blood vessels, if it becomes malignant, you can get hemangiosarcoma.
Now, he had a surgery.
Yep.
And then he got a CT. I mean, they have put every single thing to work for this dog. The whole dog, from head to tail, confirmed no metastasis, no spread. They are obviously very into supplementation, and they gave him Yunnan Bio, for 5 days after his operation to help with the bleeding. So can you tell us a little bit about Yunnan Bio? It's obviously a Chinese herb or something.
Yeah, it's a Chinese supplement that the mechanism of action hasn't been completely worked out. But it's a very old supplement. When I was doing some research for it for a lecture, I learned that they actually, in the Vietnam War, it was one of the things that they would give soldiers to. And if they suffered, you'll significant bleeding, they were supposed to take the Yunnan Bio because it clots blood.
Wow.
So it comes in a blister pack with a bunch of pills, and then there's this one pill that's red. It's called the red hit pill. And no one really knows what's in it necessarily, but if they had what was thought to be a fatal injury, and I kid you not, they were supposed to take the red hit pill with a glass of wine. So I don't know if then they're
flasks.
My
goodness.
So anyway, it is a Chinese supplement that is thought to help with bleeding. And so for dogs that have nosebleeds, like from nose tumors, I usually tell owners to have some Yunnan Bio. If they're having a nosebleed that doesn't stop, I have the owners give it to them.
Wow.
There's actually a study in people that were having very aggressive facial surgery that was anticipated to have a lot of bleeding because they were like removing part of the jaw. In this very small study in people, I think it was 10 people, but they gave them Yunnan Bio before surgery and after, and it significantly decreased the bleeding. So it So the idea with using it in hemangiosarcoma, especially if there are dogs that are having maybe they have metastasis into the lungs or the abdomen and they're having some intermittent bleeds, I would usually use it for when they're having a bleeding episode. I do know there are some oncologists who have talked about using it with chemotherapy, that maybe it has some anti-cancer property, but I would say that's still yet to be worked out. Does it need to be during chemotherapy, or can you just use it in the crisis situation if there's bleeding? So I don't personally use it during chemo and with my other supplements, and I do use a lot of the supplements that Motto's on, but I use Yunnan Bio more as like when they're having a crisis.
So it seems like they were using it preventatively.
Exactly. And again, I don't think that I wouldn't say that's wrong. I just say we don't know if it's right or wrong yet. But it's sort of one of those things. Maybe it'll help. But again, we're still trying to learn more about when and, it needs to be used in a dog with hemangiosarcoma.
I am surprised to hear you say that you use it, because so many of the things that Vivian's using for Motto seem to be like totally holistic. And yet, when you think about it, you who uses the harshest chemicals in the world, if you want to think of chemotherapy that way, you also embrace a lot of these ancient, holistic, natural, organic sort of supplements. And it's very, I don't think there's probably many other places in medicine, be it for humans or for animals, that there is that kind of embrace of both. Or are you unusual? Are there other oncologists who have the same, I'm going to call it open-mindedness, but attitude?
Yeah, I think that you may be seeing it a little bit more. I mean, when I co-wrote the Dog Cancer Survival Guide, I had no interest in supplementation and an integrative approach, but my co-author did. And as I read the book and sort of learned more about it, I slowly started to implement some of the supplements into my practice. The first one I started using was Apicaps, and you and I have probably spent a few episodes talking about that, but it's a natural plant-derived supplement that it has about six different supplements in it or components in it, and they have been shown to help promote cancer cell death. I liken it to like green tea. So we know that there is something in green tea called ECGC.
I love that.
Well, it's one of these crazy long chemical names, and then, those are the letters
I see.
Create it. So it's one of these long, complicated names. But green tea has been shown to help, kill cancer cells, and that's why drinking green tea is something that's recommended. And there's something in green tea and in Apicaps called apoptogens, and those are the things that help promote cancer cells going back into apoptosis, which is the natural cell death mode that cancer cells have figured out to avoid. So some of the things that you may have heard in Apicaps are curcumin, which is from the turmeric spice, and that has been shown in some studies in people as well to help, promote cancer cells into apoptosis. There's luteolin, which comes from the peanut shell. There's some of the polysaccharide mushrooms in there. There's apigenin, which is from parsley and basil, I think. And so, but we've learned if we can, put some of these into a supplement, that may help. I personally don't usually use, there's always exceptions to the rule,
right,
APAPs alone. I'm usually, as a medical oncologist, using, if it's indicated in the patient, some form of chemotherapy with supplements. I usually use anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4, maybe five supplements at most in my patients. But for the owners who are really, as I say, gung-ho integrative, I work with one of the integrative vets in my area because I like to practice within my specialty.
Yes.
I like to learn what, you know, some things that I can do to enhance the therapy. But I'm not, you know, a holistic vet, just the way I'm not a cardiologist. So
right.
I like to work with other specialists, you know, in the right cases. So if the owner says, I really want to do more than EpiCaps and fish oils and mushrooms and a few other things, I say, okay, let's get somebody else on the team.
Well, I think that that's really great advice, and then reduces frustration for the owner if they were to have an oncologist less holistically minded than you've become,
yeah,
who was like, oh, supplements, which many, many, many human oncologists roll their eyes and, in fact, are fiercely opposed,
yeah,
to the use of any supplementation of any kind during chemo, totally convinced that it would somehow bother it or undermine it or something. I mean, they certainly – the ones I know of well enough to know that they're like, oh, please, are you serious? Don't even think about that. In fact, many human oncologists practically make you sign an affidavit. I promise not to take any supplements.
But my concern is that if you're so close-minded, I would guess, because, you know, I know a lot of people who take supplements that have not just, you know, cancer, but other chronic conditions. And, you know, if their doctor's not open-minded, they're just not going to tell their doctor.
That's
right.
Right.
They're just going to do
right.
it. So at least I would like to know what my patients are on.
Yes.
And so I think if we're really close-minded, there's probably a lot of people that have their pets on supplements. They're just not telling their specialist.
And maybe they're wasting some money. Maybe
exactly.
Things shouldn't be used together. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. I would say that is one of Vivian's overriding questions. I'm taking X, Y, and Z. Do I take them on the same day? Do I alternate them? Can I take them with chemo or with low-dose chemo?
Right.
When we come back, we're going to name off some of these supplements because they're ones that you yourself use, which means that over there in Austria, she's either ahead of the curve or we're just catching up. We'll be right back.
This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado, who has created innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, with low-dust litters that allow everyone to breathe easier. Precious Cat's newest health monitor litter has broken new ground by allowing people to find the early signs of kidney disease in their kitty cats and intervene before damage is done, prolonging the quality and length of a cat's life. The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com. Because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too.
So Dr. Sue, Vivian with Mato in Austria has been giving him ApoCaps that you talked about, Avamar, and sometimes the Yunnan Bio. So I guess she means in cases where there might be bleeding. And what she wants to know is, Should they consider a sixth cycle of doxorubicin? Now, doxorubicin you've talked about many times on many shows for many kinds of cancer. It's one of your go-to drugs, right?
Yeah. So doxorubicin is used for, you know, for most dogs with hemangiosarcoma. It's considered sort of one of the foundation drugs. It's really thought to be one of the most effective drugs. But it's also in lymphoma protocols. It's in the CHOP multi-agent chemotherapy protocol. It's also used for owners that don't want to do that. In that big protocol,
right.
We do single agent doxorubicin. I usually give 6 dosages. So it can be used for osteosarcoma. It can be used for many, many cancers. So this is a great question that I think applies to a lot of dogs out there about what is the right number to give.
And in this case, she's had 5 cycles. Remember that it was the heart that had the cancer. And
yeah.
Doxorubicin, is it so toxic to the heart more than to other parts of your body?
So it's not that because the dog had cancer of the heart.
Oh,
regardless,
I see.
Yeah, so it's a great question, though. So it has been shown in big dogs that after they get 6 to 8 doses over their life, there's a potential that you can cause some heart toxicity. And so dogs that, you know, most of my patients come in and they have valve disease, so they have heart murmurs, they're still okay. What it can cause is something called dilated cardiomyopathy. So it affects the heart muscle and makes the heart muscle not as strong. And then when it tries to contract and pump blood, it can't do it as well. So not every dog that gets, you know, 7 doses is automatically going to go into heart failure. I've seen it a few times over the course of my career that dogs that have gotten, you know, 6 dosages, they can develop heart failure. It's really 6 to 8 dosages. I am very comfortable giving 6 doses unless, you know, there's some other changes on an ultrasound of the heart. So if this, you know, if she wanted to be sure and she wanted to give the 6th dose, you know, what we would probably want her to do is get it through a cardiologist, get an ultrasound of the heart and make sure the heart contractility, how effective the heart is at pumping blood, is still normal.
She said, which also amazed me in its thoroughness, that they regularly do ultrasound on his liver, spleen, and heart, as well as x-rays of the lungs. That was to look for metastasis, but I'm sure it would show other problems as well. I guess the question on her part was, she said, her first question is, amongst many, many questions, is there anything we haven't thought of to protect our dog from the side effects if we go to a 6th cycle of doxorubicin, which she's been led to believe is highly risky? May just be a very conservative oncologist.
It may just be conservative. You know, it's been 6 to 8 dosages. And then on devil's advocate, is there a study that shows giving 6 is so much better than 5? And, you know, and as you know, we're not the doctor taking care of Motto there. So
and even that doctor doesn't know, Dr. Sue. I mean, that's one of the horrors of this disease. What exactly works on who?
Like, there may be something else going on in the heart, you know, or maybe the fractional shortening, this measure of contractility is changing, or things like that. That it was one number and now it's not quite as, you know, good as it was. So maybe they're concerned about it. There is a drug, and of course it's the name.
Well, I'm about to say a lot of them to you, so maybe.
No, there is something that can help protect the heart.
And because she said they're giving ApoCaps, Avamar, omega-3 oil, and L-carnitine as heart protection.
It'll come to me, but there is a medication that's thought to be cardioprotectant. It's quite expensive. It's also something that we inject into the leg if doxorubicin gets out of the vein to help minimize. Zenicard.
How do we spell it?
That's the trade name, Zinecard. I've never given, you know, I've never used them concurrently, but, you know, I do have cases where doxorubicin is the only thing that is, you know, I'll be really blunt, keeping the patient alive. And I think that the risk of them developing heart failure down the road is outweighed by the benefit of giving doxorubicin. And that's the conversation she needs to have with her specialist is, do you, my veterinary oncologist, think that the 6th dose is really that risky that we shouldn't take that risk? What is the heart ultrasound showing? You know, that's really the question. In general, for me, as an empirical statement, I don't have concerns about giving 6 doses of doxorubicin to a dog that has a normal echo.
It doesn't seem to me like her oncologist is against it. In fact, he's the one recommending it, from what I can tell from what she wrote.
Okay.
A 6th cycle is contemplated. We are not sure we should do it.
Okay. As long as there's nothing, you know, no changes in the heart contractility, how effectively it can contract with each beat, which is determined by that ultrasound of the heart, I would give the 6th dose.
Okay. Then, so again, she needs to have the ultrasound of the heart by a cardiologist to know that. She says that his cardiologist then wants to switch to low-dose chemotherapy, or maybe now instead of the 6th dose, not entirely clear, and quote-unquote refuses to consider any complementary options. Now, does she mean, I don't know, other things like
the... I think she's meeting the supplements.
Okay. There's a lot of oncologists who don't get it about the supplements.
Right.
You know, they're just, it's a bafflement to them. And the people that feel the most desperate when something has metastasized or the cancer is a really horrible kind of cancer, whether they're humans or human owners of dogs, it's always like, I'll do anything. I'll try anything. Who knows if it can't hurt. It might help.
Right.
You know, so here her question is, on low-dose oral chemo, her oncologist in Austria it is familiar only with using one agent, cyclophosphamide, which you've talked about a lot. She read a study where you use cyclophosphamide and etoposide, if I'm saying that right, and piroxicam. So what about, she wants to know, is there advantage or disadvantage to use a three-drug approach? And they've read that long-term cyclophosphamide could create, they've read too much. I mean, I really think that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny. I was just having a conversation with another general practitioner vet in my area, and we were talking about when I had a urinary tract infection once, and I was reading the package insert on the antibiotics that, you know, they gave me, and it was like talking about that my tendons could pop as a side effect from an antibiotic. And, you know, but of course, you know, at CVS Pharmacy, I just signed the thing that I got it, and I went home and I read it, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to use this antibiotic. Like, my tendon could pop in my leg. But, you know, there's always these really scary side effects. And I think the difference in veterinary medicine, we do a really good job educating our clients about the pros and the cons of medications that we're not used to our doctor telling us. You go to the pharmacy, you sign that you got your thing, and you take your medication. And
quite honestly, a lot of human doctors do not have time to read even all the contraindications and to remember that that person has, you know, high eye pressure or a history of whatever. I mean, there are a lot of contraindications.
Right. And I agree. So cyclophosphamide is that low-dose oral chemo that's thought to help with the immune system, to help kind of down. There's some cancer cells or some immune system cells that don't help us fight our cancer, and this sort of adjusts them so we can fight our cancer cells. It's called immune modulating. And it's a low-dose oral chemo that in general has very little side effects. One of the rare uncommon side effects, and I have been using low-dose cyclophosphamide on my patients probably consistently, not all of them, but in the right cases, you know, 5-6 years, and I've had 2 cases develop hemorrhagic cystitis. And that's where they get, it seems like a urinary tract infection. Funny that I brought that up.
Right.
But it's a non-bacterial urinary tract or urinary inflammation. And it's sort of like a urinary tract infection that you can't treat and go away. So it is uncommon, but this is also a really aggressive cancer with a low 1-year survival rate. So when I'm done with my doxorubicins, I put them on low-dose cyclophosphamide. I either combine it with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory like piroxicam or Rimadyl. We've talked about that. That's an anti-blood vessel effect. And sometimes I use Palladia, though the jury is still out whether Palladia is better than a non-steroidal, and there's cost, you know, differences. I don't use etoposide, but again, there's another paper with a metronomic approach of those three drugs. But, you know, I think what frustrates the very smart, savvy, educated owner who's trying to do a lot of homework is sometimes there aren't good head-to-head studies that tell us which one is better. So it's really hard to say, yep, you should absolutely do this one, you know, because they did a placebo double-blinded study and, you know, this one was much better. So it gets confusing, you know, the more you try to teach yourself about your pet's cancer.
And it almost gets you off into the weeds.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the problems.
We love educated owners because they're doing their homework and they're motivated. But, you know, you get to a point where it's like, I'll be honest, it's cancer and we can't always predict what's happened. And even you know, I always tell my clients, even lymphoma, which is such a common cancer with so many studies and really consistent response rates in dogs, if your dog's in that 5% of no responders, you know, what did those statistics do for you?
Means nothing. That's absolutely right. We're going to take another break when we come back. We're going to talk about immunity, which is something I'd forgotten you've talked about quite a lot, this excellent mushroom. And she's done a lot of reading about immunity, too, because Vivian looks under every stone. I'll give her that. We'll be back after this break to see what your thoughts are about combining immunity with what's going on. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's WikiWags.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for. Dr. Sue, immunity is spelt funny so that it could be trademarked, I guess, right? Because if the word immunity can't be trademarked, so it's
I'm unity.
Yeah,
but most people say I am unity, which I think it was their way of trademarking immunity.
The word immunity. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So she's been giving it and wants to know if she can combine it with either the single or triple low dose chemo. Do we observe better survival times combining immunity with chemo, or is it feasible to do immunity alone? If we do combine immunity to low-dose chemo, can we still give ApoCaps and Avamar?
I don't use Avamar, so I can't speak about that one. But immunity and ApoCaps I use together on the same days and don't have a problem. So immunity, there's that one, and canine immunity plus. They're both different polysaccharide mushrooms. And they have been shown to have an effect or positive effect for dogs with hemangiosarcoma. The study that really got everybody's attention, I want to say almost 4 years ago, was out of Penn. It was a very small study. It was only 15 dogs with hemangiosarcoma. They had their spleen removed. And then there was three groups of five dogs, and they each got a different dose of the immunity. And the dogs in the two higher groups, so 10 dogs out of the 15, that only had surgery and no chemotherapy, lived about 6 to 7 months, which is very comparable to surgery and doxorubicin.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, it was a very exciting study, and so it got a lot of oncologists, including myself, incorporating the mushrooms, into their protocol. So if people don't want to do chemo, I'll definitely tell them to get immunity or canine immunity plus. I mean, no head-to-head study. Immunity can be very cost prohibitive for big dogs. And again, I've seen some good results with a canine immunity plus. For the purist, for my clients, I want the one in the Penn study, then I tell them to get the immunity. But I usually use canine immunity plus. And again, don't feel like I'm seeing a significant number of cases fail miserably on it. This happens in people as well, where I'm not saying it doesn't work, I know Penn is continuing to study it, but where there's a really exciting study in a very small group of people with a certain cancer, and then they do a bigger study and they don't see the same benefit. So again, it's one of these things that I don't think there's a lot of risk in terms of side effects. It's very well tolerated. There's two different options that have different price points for owners. I think there's no harm in putting a dog on immunity. But again, I love exciting new studies, but I always look forward to learning more as we use the supplement or the chemo, for any cancer.
And I guess one of the problems with the questions that Vivian's asking is, as if you, Sue, know the magic number. How many days of this combined with how many days of that? And even if you'd done your own one person at a time experimentation, that wouldn't be something that would generalize to use it for Mato in Austria. Right. And I guess that's the problem, is that when you go with supplements, I happen to be someone who takes a lot of supplements. I think I spent too many of my formative years in California, but I really do take them. I do believe that the food we eat has been gone through all kinds of processes. It doesn't have in it what we hope and wish it had in it. And
I agree.
We don't eat them all in the same day. And the bioavailability, even of the nicest foods from Whole Foods, is still questionable. And a really high quality supplement made properly under the good conditions probably has in it what it says it has in it. Having said that, I think it's really hard to say, for example, now I've switched to Nordic Naturals Omega-3. They just came out with one with curcumin in it. Well, I know that curcumin is an awesome anti-inflammatory. I have lots of knee problems and shoulder problems from playing way too much tennis at an advanced age. Do I know for sure that the omega-3 fish oil with curcumin is so much better than the joint extra or the one that's, I don't know. I mean, it sounds good, right? I mean, who's going to do that study? She wants to know if she can, can the supplements be combined or can they be used alternately? And what would the protocol look like? There is no protocol. You know, I think it's really a one man at a time, one dog at a time thing. She says, how many days of APO caps with immunity plus low-dose chemo and how many days of any of Artemix, which you don't use Avamar, but what about Artemix?
Yeah, I don't. So Artemix, I'm guessing, is like the trade name for Artemisin, which is another, you know, anti-cancer supplement that I have seen most commonly used in, dogs with osteosarcoma.
Right.
And based on Dr. Dressler's recommendation in the book, where a lot of my learning about supplements has come from, he doesn't recommend using Artemisin on apocaps day. So my osteosarcoma bone cancer patients, we do 5 days alternating of apocaps and Artemix or Artemisin. If that is the same one,
it probably is.
I haven't used that one. It's usually one that my clients have, you know, they have a dog with osteosarcoma, they've done some reading and they have it on it, and so then I can help kind of guide them through. I mean, and I don't know if she mentioned this, and you know, Tracy, I don't usually plug my book, but the book, you know, has a, I don't know if she's read it and that's how she knows about a lot of the supplements, but Dr. Dressler, in the part that kind of goes in depth into supplements, gives a good, you know, sort of not recipe, but some suggestions for how to combine a lot of these.
That would be helpful to her, because somebody just looks like, it doesn't, she may have read the book to get the all these different ideas, but not understood that there's some sort of a recipe in there, because
right. And but the hard part is when you're, you know, when your doctor doesn't really use them or know about them, and you know, maybe there's a holistic veterinarian in her area. I know you can get nutrition supplements online. I mean, who knows?
And in Austria, a lot of parts of Europe are very holistic, and the pharmacies have all
right,
kinds
she's
of...
She's getting all of these supplements.
Yeah, she's
so
even getting the ApoCap, so she must
really
have...
you know, encourage her to see if there's a holistic vet in her area that at least, you know, she doesn't have to go and see, you know, weekly, but at least give her some guidance, because, you know, even though I can tell you that I use ApoCaps and iImmunity and Omegas every day, you know, I think, there's no supplement for that hands-on one-on-one supplement, you know, or one-on-one consultation about supplements and chemo.
And then the one other question she had, and then we'll wrap it up, because all these questions that we're talking about would apply to people with dogs with any kind of cancer.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, people listening have to understand that whatever cancer your dog may have or may get, these questions will occur to you. Well, maybe I should be giving something more natural. Maybe I should be giving with it. How much? And her question now is, there's only dosages for humans. How will we know what the dog's amount should be? Would it be more? Now, I don't know why she thinks it would be more. The only thing I know of for sure with dogs that need a lot more than we do is antihistamines. They need 3 times the amount of antihistamines as that we do for itching.
Was that for just a multivitamin, or is that?
Well, she was asking about Avamar, which you don't even use.
Right.
But she now her oncologist is recommending vitamins, and now she's gone into a whole other direction. Well, wait a minute. If vitamins are antioxidant, then and ApoCaps are pro-oxidant with other supplements, then would vitamins cancel out the ApoCaps? Like, oh my God.
And vitamins is just too broad a,
it is.
You know, like, is it a multivitamin they want? You know, there's some concern. So one of the mechanisms of doxorubicin is the drug actually causes free radicals, which help punch and kill the holes in the cancer cells. It's one of the many mechanisms. So there's always been concern about dogs being on antioxidants, vitamin C, close to their doxorubicin. And so that's always been the concern.
I see.
Dr. Dressler does do a good job explaining the pro-oxidant, antioxidant sort of issue in the book.
Good. Wonderful.
Probably better than we could describe in 2 minutes. But, it gets complicated.
Yes.
For sure. And I hope that we've helped her more than confused her.
Well, I must say it just makes me really respect and admire the amount of effort and time and money that so many people put into trying to squeeze the very best quality and length of life for their dogs when they get these diagnoses and go through these treatments. And I have to believe that you doing all these things, probably a lot of it's good and none of it's really bad. is sort of how I come across thinking about it. It's like, you know, if you had to sit every day and have to weigh on a little scale, this one's anti, that's pro. If I do this one on that day and the other one on the other day, you know, you might give yourself a stroke. It's too much to try and figure out, I think. And if and if the Dog Cancer Survival Guide has recipes and charts and graphs in it, probably best to go with that, because Dr. Dresser really has devoted his life to figuring that out. And it's a great resource for people to have. Dr. Sue, thank you so much. And let's hope that more of these studies are done and with more dogs, so that when the results come out, they will be more true for all of us.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, honey.